Welcome into a belated ride home edition of the Murray State Basketball Podcast, Sunday, February the 19th, as Murray State caps off a winning week. 2-0 this week, a win on the road at Illinois State, and then yesterday a 74-58 win over Evansville, as the Racers now improved to 15-13 on the year, 10-8 in the Missouri Valley Conference. We will talk about the standings and some shakeups yesterday in the Missouri Valley race, certainly when it comes to the Racers. We'll get to that coming up in a little bit. I will try to piece my way through this since I was doing the broadcast yesterday on ESPN3. And for those of you that didn't get to see it, you're welcome, but also apologize for some. The ESPN Plus, ESPN3 thing, it seems to be interchangeable at points where you hear it's on ESPN Plus constantly, and then all of a sudden at the last second, it's like, oh, by the way, it's on ESPN3. And then that makes accessing it a challenge for some people. So, I guess the nickel explanation for those that haven't figured it out, or just my father, if he's listening, ESPN Plus, you know, that's the app that's what you pay for. That's the $5 a month that you pay for ESPN Plus. ESPN 3, you have access to if you pay for cable. So that's where you have to, you know, if you pay for ESPN through your cable or YouTube TV or whatever it may be, you get ESPN 3. ESPN Plus is technically an add-on, so, but sort of the willy-nilly nature of where it's going to be and seemingly confusion up until the last minute is certainly annoying. So for those of you that were unable to watch the game because it got moved to ESPN 3, or it was supposed to be on ESPN 3 all along but was just communicated poorly, certainly apologize for that. But while doing the broadcast, as I have learned in doing play-by-play this year, there's a little bit of air traffic controller to that job where you're trying to get in and out of breaks and, you know, call the game and work with your partner and set him up to do whatever. And so my normal note-taking during a game was missing. So there may be some major black holes here in my conversation here, which may ultimately just keep it shorter than usual. So we will hop to it. Number one, Racers did what they needed to do, most importantly. Win a game, you're favored by a dozen at home against a team that is, you know, 5-23 coming in. It's a gots to have game. And so big picture, hey, you win by 16, took care of business, all's well. It was not really... for much of the afternoon, did not feel like a 16-point coast home win. Evansville, as we have, you know, I know we discussed multiple times during the broadcast and have talked about here as well, that, you know, they got blasted, I believe, Wednesday at Belmont, lost by 30, 35 points. And you're like, ah, same old Evansville. But the last month, you know, you basically look at the first 10 games in conference play and then their last seven, it's two different teams. You know, they had not been able to break through as often as they would have liked, but, you know, again, we're going to eliminate the 32-point loss to Belmont. But prior to that, let's see, they lost to Valpo at home by 7. They lost at SIU by 7. They got blown out by Drake. That's relatable. Lost at home to Belmont by 9. Lost at Valpo by 12. Lost at UIC by 9. Beat Northern Iowa at home. Lost at Missouri State by 6. I mean, they have, as an old coach used to tell me, we played just well enough to lose today. And that's kind of what they have been feisty. They have been feisty. And so, you know, for the Racers, you had to come out and play well and just kind of put this team away early. And that certainly did not happen. Now, defensively, these were the two worst from a defensive efficiency standpoint, also a defensive scoring standpoint in conference play. These were the two worst defensive teams in the Missouri Valley Conference, which almost made it ironic that at the half, it was 27-24, and Murray State was on top. I wish I could say it was like, hey, it was great defense. I don't know that it necessarily was. It just felt like there was some very poor offense going on that the defense can certainly take credit for. Murray State fell in love for whatever reason, especially early in the game, with the three-point shot. And it was just the word I used on the game with Kenny Roth was just clunky. It was just, they were not getting to the very beginning of the game. Brian Moore, who only played 10 minutes with a little bit of a knee issue at Illinois State, he starts, played 34 minutes, and he was getting to the basket at will early. Had that knee taped up, but it was like you would not have known anything was wrong. He was great yesterday. And especially when we got to the second half and it was time for Murray to kind of put their foot down, got it to 10 and were trying to put it away, you know, his ability to get to the basket and finish at the rim over and over and over. He finished with 18, 7 of 7 at the line in 34 minutes. He was great. But then after that initial surge from Moore, it just turned into we're just jacking up threes. And, you know, they end up 3-for-10 in the first half. And I feel like it was 0-for-6, 0-for-7 to start. Quincy Anderson knocked down 2 in the first half. Had that steal and finish. He was that one man, the one man run there at the end of the half where Murray, I think, was down 2 to then go up 3 into the locker room. He was great for the second game in a row. But it's like, okay, they have played awful in the first half, all things considered, turned it over 9 times. I mean, they turned over like 12 times a game for the season. They turned over 9 times in the first half, and you're still up 3. It's like, all right, see if we can start spreading this thing out a little bit. And then they finally, it took a while. But again, in the second half alone, to get 12 out of Brian Moore, 11 out of Jamari Smith, 8 out of Kenny White, 7 out of Quincy, 7 out of DJ Burns. It was everybody. And 2 out of Rod Thomas. Don't want to leave those off the board. It just felt like an entirely different team from an offensive standpoint. And, you know, to hold Evansville to, you know, 13 of 31, which, you know, 42%, that's fine, but just 2 of 10 from beyond the arc. Didn't really let them get to the free throw line. Continued to handle them on the glass. I mean, plus 14 rebounding margin was really good. And that was with DJ Burns missing a significant chunk of the first half, you know, only playing 6 minutes with foul problems. So I thought it just was one of those games you just had to find a way. You had to find a way through some adversity. I went back and looked because Steve Prohm had to deal with foul problems yesterday. And, you know, DJ picking up 2 fouls in the first 2 minutes. You know, Steve rolled the dice and brought him in later in the first half when they were getting beat on the glass. And then late first half, Jacoby Wood picks up a 3rd, and then immediately, a minute into the second half, picks up his 4th, and he has to sit for the duration. That is just not something Steve has had to deal with. He's had to make those sort of substitution patterns due to foul issues. And I go back and look, we have played 29 games at this point, and 28 games. Murray's had 2 guys foul out all season. Kenny White fouled out once. Jamari Smith fouled out once. For large chunks of this year, I had sort of assessed that one of the strengths of this Murray State team was their ability to guard without fouling. And that is why they never had guys foul out. Rarely had guys in foul trouble. I think as the year has gone on, it just showed, I'd like to maybe see some guys foul out. because I think they it's not only guarding without fouling, it's sometimes not guarding without fouling. There were times yesterday that Evansville just able to get the blow by time and time again, just blowing by the on-ball defender, and Steve Prohm just all but pleading with his guards. We have to guard. We have to stay in front of people. Because when they're getting beat, it causes that breakdown in the back where guys are having to rotate, over-rotate, and then you get wide-open shots. And Murray was just fortunate yesterday. You know, Evansville just struggled from beyond the arc. 5 of 21 for the game. And they had some open looks and just were really unable to knock them down. Got up 16. And Racers, it was about 5-6 minutes left. It was kind of an eerily similar game to Illinois State the other night, where you're up 11 with 5 minutes to go, and then all of a sudden you look up, it's 2. Well, it didn't get that hairy yesterday, but 16 got down to 8 in a blank. And, you know, I think we're past the point of, I don't know that this team can evolve past what it is. I mean, I don't know that there's any team in the country right now. Once you've played 28 games, you are what you are. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, you get up 16, you just like to get up 20 and put the thing away. And that has been sort of that Achilles heel for this team this year, to not be able to get leads and extend them. And you know, you look at the wins this year. I mean, yesterday was such an anomaly to the season, you know, to win by 16, to just go back and look that, you know, you beat Illinois State by 1, you beat Belmont by 1, you beat Missouri State by 3, you know, the Indiana State game by 9, UIC 17, you know, they had a couple breathers, but I mean, that was like a month ago, where it's like, it just felt like everything just had to be so hard. And yesterday, it was hard for a while until they finally, Racers got rolling there, able to score. I mean, they had that stretch where I think they made 7 straight field goals and were just able to, you know, they weren't getting a ton of stops, but they were getting enough stops that the lead was able to stretch out. I thought a positive really yesterday, though, again, is having the team need to adapt to different bodies being in there. You know, early in the year, you know, Steve would play 5. You know, it'd be, you know, that was the whole talk of playing 6, playing 7. That was really it. And, you know, guys weren't getting into foul trouble. He wasn't having to go deep into the bench, and they were just going. But the last couple of nights we've seen, whether it was Brian Moore's injury against Illinois State, that we saw a lot of Quincy Anderson and a lot of Kenny White going down the stretch. And then last night, and then finding a way to win. And then yesterday afternoon, to see, you know, DJ getting in the early foul trouble, getting to see Marlon Leston getting into the game early for his most significant action of the entire year, for Jacoby Wood to pick up his 4th foul and have to just sit for such a huge chunk of the second half, to see Rob Perry goose-egged and not being on the floor really at the end. I mean, he played 36 minutes, and the game, you know, you could say, but it was almost like, oh, he's out for the final few minutes. And ultimately, the game may have been out of line, but it's like, but he went 0 for 7. But it's like, again, you just look in the vacuum, and you're like, okay, if you just see Rob plays 36 minutes and doesn't score, and Jacoby Wood played 20 minutes and had 2 points, you're like, they got beat by 30, right? I mean, that feels like the recipe for that. And instead, you go win by 16. That they have shown at least the last couple of nights an adaptability that when their best guys have not been able to be on the floor, that the other pieces have been able to come in and pick them up and go, which I thought has been good to see. It's been good to see. So Moore and Jamari both had 18, Quincy Anderson 15, Kenny 10. I mean, 4 guys in double figures, you give yourself a heck of a chance to win. But, you know, to close the game, you know, shoot 57% in the second half, I thought was really good. And again, that the 3-point shooting, I've beaten into the turf here. You know, somewhere in that 15 range of 3-pointers is where this team needs to be. And they shot 10 in the first half. I mean, they shot 8 in the first 10 minutes. And then they finished with 15. You know, 5 for 15, it's fine. You make enough to keep everybody honest. And I thought that was ultimately a good number. DJ Burns, second half, channeling his inner Magic Johnson, running the break a couple times, finishing at the rim in transition. 9 points and 8 rebounds for him, 3 assists in just 16 minutes, but really got the crowd going a couple of times. And I thought, again, ultimately, it was maybe a more frustrating win at points than you would have hoped, but in the end, it was drama-free at the end. And again, Rod Thomas gets in, gets his 2 free throws, lights the place up there as the Racers get the win, 74-58. All right, so as of this moment, yesterday, Northern Iowa goes to Missouri State and wins. So for the moment, Murray State has now pulled into the 6th seed due to their head-to-head win over Missouri State. They are tied with Missouri State at 10-8. Northern Iowa is now in the 8th spot at 9-9 with 2 games to play. So Murray State, obviously, on I believe it's Tuesday. Tuesday they go to Missouri State, where at that point they can all but clinch. I guess it's not an all but clinch the 6th seed if they can win. Now there's a path there where Northern Iowa could tie them, but Northern Iowa's last 2 games are against at Southern Illinois and home to Belmont. So at 9-9, 13-15, that would require Northern Iowa to win both, and then Murray to win at Missouri State and lose at home to Valpo, and then Northern Iowa has the tiebreaker over Murray State. There's a lot of if this, then that with 2 games to go to get too into the weeds. But right now, I mean, the most important thing for Murray, they have the path to the 6. If they are able to beat Missouri State, they are in the driver's seat for the 6, which from a opening round in St. Louis standpoint would mean they would play UIC. Would be the team they would play in the opening round. And then they would play, if they win that, then they would play the 3 seed, which as of this moment is Indiana State, but ultimately is going to be one of the 5 teams of Drake, Bradley, Indiana State, Southern Illinois, and Belmont. Those 5 teams separated by 1 game with 3 to play. Today is a massive day in the conference as, again, Indiana State has their win already to get to 13-5, but those other 4 teams in the league all play each other today. And that is, we're going to get some separation and maybe a little more clarity as we head into the final week of the season. So today, and these are national television games, ESPN2, Bradley is at Southern Illinois at 1 o'clock, and then Belmont is at Drake at 3. That one's on the CBS Sports Network. Valpo also plays UIC today on ESPN+. So we should get a little more clarity at the top of the pack, or we may just have a 5-way tie for first, which could also happen, which would be something else heading into the last week. But for the Racers, everything now falling really on the line from a seeding standpoint. Tuesday night at Missouri State. Again, you win that, you're the 6, and then you would play the 3. If they lose it, you know, they could fall into that 7-8 line, which means you're probably playing Illinois State again, be Illinois or Valpo, and then you're having to look at playing the top seed, whoever it is. I don't know that there's really any matter whether you're playing 1 through 5, because those teams are all essentially the same, but it's just the path of the tournament that the Racers will have to chase down here in the next week. But the bottom line, 2 wins in a row, a chance to go get another road win, and then come home Saturday on Senior Day where DJ Burns and Rod Thomas will be honored, and a chance to have some momentum heading into St. Louis, which is already less than 2 weeks away at Arch Madness, which is just amazing that this season has just about come to a close. All right, that does it for this edition of The Ride Home. podcast. Again, after the 74-58 went over Evansville yesterday at the CFSB Center. We will be back on Monday, which is tomorrow. We'll be back and start previewing the Missouri State matchup as the Racers get ready to head over to Springfield. Thanks for listening. If you haven't done so already, you can subscribe at Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.